56. Sneaking through this strange cavern unseen proved impossible for Marcy. The floodlights on the ceiling left little in the way of shadows, and the homes were built around a central park, including fake grass made of some wood chips painted green. Nothing would be more conspicuous than someone being furtive. So, feeling utterly exposed and half expecting to hear gunshots, she walked down one of the picturesque rows of townhouses, trying to pretend she belonged. After the urgency of rushing from one fight to another, it felt surreal. No one in this cavern appeared to have any idea of the battles beyond it. She passed couples walking hand in hand. A man worked on a play structure in the yard of a home, his children eager for the swings to get connected. A man in a white uniform strode past, delivering jars of food to each home, humming to himself. It was bizarre. It was all too peaceful, too normal. And there was no metal. The windows had wooden frames, the buildings were made of brick or clay, no need for nails. The street had no lights or lanterns. It was glaring once she noticed it. In fact, the only metal she was able to spot was in those floodlights high in the ceiling above. That made her even more aware of the rucksack she carried. Aside from the glowing jar, Marcy had some ammunition in it, and a few small explosive charges, along with bandages, cash, and some lockpicks and other tools. Moonlight was the type of woman who liked to be prepared. Marcy pulled the sack tighter against her shoulder. Unfortunately, she was drawing attention. People turned to watch her as she passed. Conversations between promenading couples died. Eyes lingered on her as if she were the one person on inspection day who'd neglected to wear a uniform. Perhaps best to hurry through this strange neighborhood and see if there was some way out the other side. Yet would that actually help? Her intel said there was a way to the portal through the community. She needed to find it. The Lord Mayor mentioned going to the community, Marcy thought. He could be in here somewhere. Maybe he would lead me to it? As two women on the road passed by quickly, wearing day dresses and moving at a brisk pace, they shot several furtive glances at Marcy. That posture, Marcy's instincts said they were going to tell someone about her. Those same instincts told her to go the other direction, but she needed to find the people in charge. She almost asked Wayne what he thought, then felt like a fool. Over the years, she'd grown to rely on him. Not having him at her back, well, it felt wrong. After a split second of consideration, she broke into a trot to follow those two women. They hurried into a two-story townhome with wooden trestles along the wall outside, being climbed by painted ropes to imitate vines. Marcy peered in through the door and found the women clustered around not soldiers or officers, but a stately middle-aged blonde woman. She wore a fine gray-blue dress, short overcoat, long skirts with a slight bustle. It was a style that had been popular a decade ago. The stately woman met Marcy's eyes, then hurried over and took her by the arm. Marcy's instinct was to dodge away, but it wasn't a threatening move.
"Hurry, hurry," the woman said to Marcy. "Inside. You've already been seen by too many, dear. Drenya, close the drapes."
Befuddled, Marcy let the woman pull her into the well-furnished room as Drenya closed the drapes. The third woman lit an oil lamp on the table. It felt quaint to see it after years of electricity inexorably creeping into every home and light sconce.
"Fialia," the stately woman said, "fetch the others. Cassie will want to meet her, obviously, and Abram. He has been keeping notes. Hurry, hurry!"
She then patted Marcy on the arm absently.
"How are you, dear? Hungry? Thirsty? You must have had such a difficult time of it. You're a survivor. Good for you."
Drenya peeked out through the now closed drapes, watching. She was a mousy younger woman in a dress that could have used some more color.
"I don't think Gord saw her, bless the survivor. Word will get to him eventually," Fialia said, pausing by the door. "He'll go straight to the mayor." "I'll deal with Lord Entrone," said the blonde woman, who settled Marcy in a seat. "Go." Fialya left, and Marcy let herself be seated, trying to understand. They didn't want the mayor to find out about her, so were these dissenters within the set? But their clothing, these homes, this place, and this woman. The stately blonde patted Marcy's hand, then vanished into another room. Perhaps a kitchen? Marcy almost bolted. Perhaps they were trying to distract her from stopping Mayor Entron? But then the blonde woman returned with some biscuits and tea. Marcy gaped, flummoxed by the idea of a tea break in the middle of a dangerous incursion into enemy territory.
"Look at the poor thing," said Drenya from the drapes. "It's probably been years since she saw real food." "It's all right," the blonde woman said, offering the biscuits. "Don't be afraid. We have plenty here, like in the old days. You remember?"
"The old days?" Marcy said.
"Yes, before the disaster," the blonde woman said. "Before the ash falls. We are safe down here."
"It was built to keep us protected," the other woman said, stepping up.
"You must be so strong to have survived up there, to have found your way here."
Up there. Oh, Rosts. It finally came together for Marcy. All this time she'd assumed the pictures of ash falling, the strange moving image made with the models above, was a part of a plot to threaten the outside world. But no, the hoax hadn't been planned to be used in the future. It had already been perpetrated. On these people. Rosts, they thought the world had been destroyed and that they had been protected from it.
"How long," Marcy whispered, "have you been down here?"
7 years now, the blonde woman said, patting her hand. "Though we lived in much smaller caverns originally, this town, Wayfarer, as we call it, is about 5 years old."
"It was terribly difficult to build," the other woman added, "but it's so much nicer. Makes you think of the old days, doesn't it? With the sky and sunlight, trees and plants."
Marcy numbly took a biscuit and bit into it, partly to keep the blonde woman from forcing them on her. It was good, Marcy noticed absently as her mind raced. These people, they'd been tricked into believing the world was ending, forced to live in a bunker underground. But why? Surely the set had plenty of willing participants in their schemes. Why keep some of them so ignorant? And how did this relate to the impending army or the bomb? A few other people soon piled in, along with Fialya. Three women and one man, a stocky fellow with a belt full of stone tools.
"No metal," Marcy mumbled. "Well, naturally," the blonde woman said. "The metal mutants can sense it. The only metal we dare use is a little aluminum to make lights and the speakers for the public address system."
The four others huddled, gaping at Marcy. Did she really look that much like she'd survived an apocalypse? She supposed her outfit was a little worse for wear after multiple gunfights and struggles for her life, plus the rucksack and having no chance to wash up. Well, maybe she did.
"You poor people," Marcy whispered. "She's in shock," said Mousy Drenya.
"Can you tell us what it's like up there?"
the man with the tool belt said, stepping forward, a cloth cap in his fingers.
"Are the Ashfalls still strong? It's been a year since we saw an outsider."
"There have been others," Marcy asked, confused. "Once in a while, someone from above finds their way through the tunnels and our protections to the town," the blonde woman said, patting her hands. "I keep telling the mayor that we don't need those protections, that we can take in far more people than we have now. But Gave Entron is a stubborn man. He insists that outsiders are too dangerous."
"Gave," Marcy said. "Your mayor?"
"Yes. He's from the other caverns originally," the blonde woman said. "One's underneath Elendil. There are several complexes, and occasionally people from that one move here."
"Entron is a tyrant," the man with the tools said. "He won't let us help the world above. Won't let us search for survivors. Won't even let us explore the caverns. And when people like you come..."
The blonde woman shot him a glare.
It's all right, Marcy said. I need to know. Please, there are secrets here you don't understand.
Well, the blonde woman said, when outsiders like you arrive, they get shipped off to one of the other caverns. We never get to talk for long. And they tell you about the world above?
Marcy guessed, connecting the clues.
A world of ashes, one of the other women said. A destroyed land full of terrible metal mutants.
I saw one once, the man said. A terrible twisted thing. Poor soul. It broke in here, and the Lord Mayor's security force killed it.
A hemallergic abomination, Marcy guessed, let loose in here on purpose to keep these people frightened.
Newcomers, the woman said, can't help sharing how terrible things are, then get taken away. We think the Lord Mayor doesn't want them frightening us.
Quite the contrary, Marcy said. They're actors, brought in to prove his lies.
Marcy looked around the room, meeting their concerned eyes. They were worried for her. They had no idea. The blonde woman patted Marcy's hand yet again.
We keep hoping that we'll get word that people we knew had survived.
I had three daughters, said the man with the tools. In Bilming, it's been corroding me ever since I was saved, not knowing what happened to them. Please, miss, do you have news of any pockets of survivors up above? The last refugee who came down here, he said the entire city was a wasteland, completely destroyed. But some people must have lived.
Marcy frowned.
Wait, you were saved? How did you end up here?
The blonde woman forced another biscuit on her and shared a glance with the others.
It was a random lottery, she finally said. The scientists who discovered the impending eruptions realized they could save only a few. So they made an impossible decision, randomly selecting people.
It wasn't completely random, one of the women said. It was weighted toward women of childbearing age for obvious reasons, and an emphasis on allomancers, or those from the lines of allomancers, again for obvious reasons.
We couldn't bring our families, the man said, looking down. We argued for it once we woke here. Oh, how we tried to get the managers to see reason, but eventually, we felt the earth shake and we knew.
Then the Lord Mayor arrived, the blonde woman said, and instituted stricter protocols.
Tyrant, the man muttered.
We still feel it shaking now and then, one of the women said, looking up, from the explosions of the ashmounts. It must be deafening out there. We are occasionally allowed up to glimpse your world, but not often. Too dangerous. Still, I've seen how it is out there. The distant rubbled city, the red sun, the suffocating ash. Like a funeral shroud.
How do you see these things? Marcy asked.
An observation room, the woman explained. There's a ladder to it at the edge of the cavern.
That wouldn't lead to the room Marcy had seen with the projector. They were too far from there. She suspected that entire room was a test chamber, and that these people were somehow shown something more authentic-seeming without such an obvious light and projector. Regardless, she was now certain that that was what the ruse was for, along with actors sent to reinforce the illusion, who were then taken away to another cavern so that they couldn't slip up and reveal the truth. As long as none of the actual subjects of the experiment were allowed to leave, no one would ever know. But why? So much work for what? Except allomancers.
Some of you are allomancers, Marcy said.
Yes, the blonde woman said. I'm a rioter, though not even my family knew about my powers. Fialia is a lurcher, Cassie a soother.
I had two allomancer parents, the man said, but I never got any powers myself. The others are similar.
That was the final piece. Marcy knew what was happening, and as she put it together, another revelation struck her. She did know the blonde woman. There was a reason she was familiar. She was Maracy's distant cousin, Armel Harms, a woman who had been kidnapped by Miles Hundredlives and the Vanishers 7 years ago, during Wax's first case in the city after his return.